represent the document. That's one thing. The second thing is that this is for the lab to look at it, and also for the national board members, and then going back to the lawyer with recommendations and so on. Now, there's some issues here that are really very difficult to deal with in the whole discussion of the bylaw, specifically with the diversity requirement, the 50-50, the 60%, etc., etc. The problem with that is that the way, if you check the language here and the way that he drafts, basically suggesting that instead of put that as in the bylaw, like 50-50, the way that some labs suggest, he recommend that to make that a goal that the Pacifica will make the best effort they can to make the diversity requirements and so on. So that is his recommendation, because supposedly, for some reason you should take a look to what he said here and how he said it.
Yeah, I did, and I saw some of the equations with this and the Bakke case, etc., on the heels of the affirmative action situation with Bush. And I have to say that I am extremely disappointed with the social threats. This is exactly one of the reasons why I supported the model of inclusion. And it always comes down to situations like this. Whenever the possibility of underrepresented people get close enough to the table that they might suggest a change. And this happens time and time again. And it really, really is disheartening. I can't tell you how absolutely sick I feel over this. And I feel very ashamed, and I feel embarrassed for some of my so-called colleagues to even raise this as an issue. I want this on record. I don't care what anybody says about me having stood on the soapbox and tried to shove, however it will be recorded, that I tried to shove the constituency model down anybody's throat. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying this, along with many other things that I'm publicly on record saying, is one of the reasons why I oppose a model that has a constituency discussion. And this is at least something you can't blame on the constituency model. You put your foot in it yourself. So what you're saying is, it may be okay for underrepresented people to listen if they want, and it's extremely good if they give their money, but that's as far as it goes, unless we find the people that we decide that we will collect. It's really a sad day for participants as far as time is concerned.
Just before you go in here, we passed the KPFL resolution, yes, since we talked about that before. What they said here is the KPFA lab requests the Pacific National Board to obtain the opinion of prominent civil rights lawyer familiar with the Bug California in federal law concerning for legality of putting diversity minimum requirements in our bylaw. Just part of that thing that was passed by.
How can California do that when they're one of the states that opposes affirmative action?
Well, this is the lab recommended to make a recommendation to the Pacific National Board to have some kind of second opinion in the home, because it was submitted in here, or the way that he put it was some people doesn't feel comfortable with that. That's ready.
Yeah, okay. To me, there are a few issues going on here.
Yeah, that's true.
One of them, to answer some what Sheila was talking about, is that this lawyer clearly, not only as I think maybe or somebody has said yesterday or whenever we spoke, that this guy just didn't go any further than any kind of neutral Justice Department lawyer who just decided this is looking at this in a very legalistic fashion, and it sounds okay to him, so he's happy with it. So there's nothing radical. It clearly doesn't go far enough. So it's a mixture of this, a very conservative approach to this. Second, I think in Liberty, as far as going, saying that we should have maybe no more than 17 people on the national board. So again, we seem to be concerned more with some mechanistic functioning of our institution, rather, which is part of it, clearly. No matter what our goals are, if we can have a structure that functions, we'd fall on our rear end. But this guy seems to be missing the point. So as I say, he's assuming right that really nobody asked him to do, which is to change this system radically, showing that he doesn't understand what we're trying to do, which is to include as many people as possible. And secondly, his approach is extremely conservative. Now, I will hope that tonight we can look at those resolution files that make PFA. I support them myself.
Yeah.
I think however, I think they don't go far enough. I think there's a major contradiction there. The contradiction is that KPFA says we want a lawyer's opinion about a very important issue. We want somebody else's opinion.
Yeah.
That's so important. However, we will not make the time to do it properly. So we have to go from here to here by fitting today and tomorrow. So you hurry up and look at me an opinion, and if I can use it between now and then okay. Otherwise, so either we decide that it's not serious enough, that let's not even bother putting it on paper, or if it is serious enough, I would suggest that we add one more paragraph to that resolution that we call for this process to be delayed to allow
right.
us to really look at what's involved
right.
in a serious fashion. For example, it's been suggested that there are mm-hmm. other issues dealing with civil rights that this guy did not look at seriously.
Can you be more specific?
Another lawyer that looked at this
said
that there are aspects of this question that relate to civil rights that besides just the notion of complying with a non-profit California organization.
Yeah.
So that the point I'm trying to make also is that if you have five other lawyers, I'm very confident there could be other positions. And considering this guy's approach, as I said, of saying that, you know, we don't really understand it, that we're trying to include sort of a broad enough board. And I said that I mean, function of saying, well, you should reduce it to 17 people. And because for him, it runs better. It doesn't matter what it's running about, but it runs better. Also, to me, tells me that we do have to go. As a land, we have responsibility to show leadership, and I endorse, I support tonight the effort that KPFA has done in most of those resolutions there. And I suggest that we either adopt the same very same language or change them slightly, whatever we feel necessary, but that we definitely add to the first resolution that we do leave whatever time is necessary, is required to make this a reality. So that if indeed we're serious about this, that we provide the legal the time for a deep, competent opinion that would agree or disagree with the one that we have now.
So you're basically saying that we endorse the KPA 5 resolution?
No, yes, but that's a very serious difference. That I think that they say we're calling for a lawyer to look at this. However, we're not providing any time for him to do it. So if we have to have an answer by Wednesday, which is the answer, by the way, you better do it by Wednesday.
Forget
it. If you get it by Wednesday, then you just don't use that opinion.
Yeah,
tonight.
The statement in the letter that Carol sent out that I find remarkable.
And the letter, I'm sorry,
this was a letter that was sent out to the interim board of directors from Kevin...
Right.
The lawyer. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that it was sent out by Carol. It starts by saying, just this one line that says an awful lot.
What page are
you? I'm sorry, because they weren't... It's page 6 of 10? It says, there's long existed a tension between affirmative action initiatives and the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. It's like a comment I heard from a member of the administration the other day about Roe v. Wade, which said it's a shame that it was based on a legal fiction, the right to privacy. It's not based on a legal fiction, it's based on a legal doctrine. There has not been a tension. The mere fact that it is framed this way shows a predisposition to the acceptance of the most reactionary of the cases. Now, the law of the land is affirmative action. It has not been overturned. It just so happens now we have a federal case that will be heard in March, the Michigan undergraduate and a law school, which will not necessarily, no matter what the ruling is, undermine in total affirmative action. But it is the most important case in 25 years on a federal level since Bakke. Bollinger is mentioned, Bob Jones University, yes. UNRRA, Bakke, and Proposition 209. There's an acceptance of that without any interpretation of local case law or even its applicability to a non-for-profit. It doesn't deal with federal preemption statutes. There are many complex things. To put it quite simply, you know, as I once heard a very brilliant attorney, Michael Tiger, say, there are two sides to a flapjack. While there's the administration position on affirmative action and the Justice Department, it actually in some ways is more liberal if you read the Justice Department brief now in the Michigan case than this is. Elliot Spitzer, the state attorney general, forgive me, Hillary Clinton, and Schumer all feel that they can submit briefs in the support of affirmative action. And yet we have an attorney here who doesn't do a memo of law. If you were a student and you were asked to do a memo of law, you would state leading cases and you would also see if they were followed, in what cases they weren't. It's a point counterpoint, to put it separately. This opinion is not. It is an advocacy opinion to unravel and subject us to affirmative action. Every case that I've seen that deals with UNRRA or 209 deals with, which he makes some mention of, state employment and state education funds. The 501c3 is a federal tax statute. Right. It is not state law. It is in no way implicated here. In any event, one can talk a lot, but here's what I'm doing if it matters. I've spoken to the folks from MALDEF, which is the Mexican American Legal Defense Fund. The reason I particularly picked on them, because they've been dealing with this issue a lot and were one of the major foes of UNRRA and Proposition 209. They are going to put together a paragraph on their understanding of the law in California relevant to non-for-profits, etc. I'm doing work with Ted Shaw. Ted Shaw is the Associate General Counsel of the NEACP Legal Defense and Education Fund, which is actually doing the representation on the Michigan case from a perspective in defense, as Michigan itself is defending, on women, on gays, and all the other things that seek to equalize the playing field a little bit and have a method of inclusion. So I would like this lab, I'm hoping in by the end of this week, that I will have at least a 2-3 page memo, and shortly thereafter a couple of supplements, or shall we say extended footnotes, from people who are both activists and extremely prominent in devising and defending inclusion models in the law for decades now. So what I would like, if I gather from what Ray is saying, that our lab go on record saying that there must be the time given to debate this. This is an exact mirror, which is tragic to me, and so have many of our discussions been over the past year, of the administration's position against affirmative action. And this is not an unbiased, this is an adversary. I'm sorry, an advocacy piece. So I would just like, if we will wait, we can have an extraordinary meeting next week, be able to hand in a memo, we can go through it, but just enough to get us, to get them to understand that there are many different positions within the law. Affirmative action actually is the law of the land. It is not illegal. It is a federal series of statutes. There is Supreme Court law, and so I'm just, I don't think I need to plead, but I'm just asking or requesting that we make it clear that we neither politically accept this, nor do we legally, and we will be in a position to back that up and show a counter position on the law. So I'd like to just add to the KPFA statement,
yes,
by saying that we would like both activists, and the reason is just finally, aside from what the law said, if we believe, regardless of the shades of difference and debate that we've had, but if we believe in a process of inclusion on any level, to accept this as the status quo and just capitulate to the fact that women, that gays, that disabled, that people of color, in quotes, cannot and should not be given their share of what they've been habitually excluded from, is really not who we are as a network, and that we go on record as fighting for it and not capitulating to a rather conservative legal interpretation.
I absolutely agree with that. This is one of the best things, not against anything you just said, because I really support your work on getting on the stand. I don't know if you all remember, but when I introduced the thing with the conflict of interest stuff that later became incorporated into the bylaws, there were also some procedures for hiring of attorneys, accountants, and contracts. And people said, don't pay attention to those now because those are going to procedures. And we have no procedure on the IPMB to pick an attorney. What happens here, whether one is for or against or whatever one thinks about this, it was one of these, oh, Rob Robinson knows somebody. And by me, if we're going to get a second opinion, I would like way of organizing it so that people on the IPMB set out credentials, analysis of who they're going to hire and or ask for the opinion, and then call in a group of people, interview a group of people so a choice can be made. I think we got into trouble here again because there is no agreement on an attorney. And so then the attorney said X, and people disagree with it. And again, it's falling into, we don't have any contract. And so I would like, instead of just having a motion, and I don't have to word this, if you all agree, some procedure, because otherwise it's just going to be somebody knows. And that's not going to be good enough.
Okay. Let's see if we can, with the people tower, I'm trying to see if I can have the main idea for the proposed really is. So Mimi, just go back to you. What you were proposing basically is that, okay, first of all, that you're going to put we will come out with a memo.
Well, I guess maybe it's three parts, Miguel, that we concur really with the KPFA. Unless people have some radically different shades of that, we may want to ask you, but that we confirm that we believe in inclusion for the disenfranchised historically, or we can frame it some other way if that language is. And so one is that we concur with KPFA, and we add that we believe inclusion, that's what Pacifica stands for, and that we feel the need both politically and legally to do further consultation and deliberation to come up with another position in response to this. And I don't know if you want to set a specified time frame. Frankly, I like to just leave it so that it's understood that enough time will be given, because people are busy and it takes time for them to meet and to do a little research and put their thoughts down. And I think that Susan does have a point, that criteria does need to be, or that there needs to be some submission of names when we hire people to do this most fundamental issue, and give the almost definitive position, as people seem to always be mystified when a lawyer says. But so I think that Susan has a significant point that should be raised, the time consideration support of our sisters and brothers in KPFA, with our addition that we would like to submit something, and that we want both political people and people who have supported affirmative approaches.
Yeah, that's it.
I think that's very important.
Did the people read the KPFA lab? But, I mean, Can we just read that to the people?
Wait. Let's finish with one thing.
No, I'm trying to finish, but we're gonna add something to this. So I'm trying to call the attention to what KPFA passed, and then you know because people been saying we support the brothers and sisters and KPFA, and Mimi basically add the activist part, which is not here, right? That's a new part.
That's very important.
Actually, I would say I did the activist part, Mimi added the legal part more.
It's the activist and legal, but it's also, it's a commitment. It's, we're not equivocating. It's also, I think, our addition is that we do support affirmative action. And we are here to substantiate both the political to justify that legally and politically. I mean, I think it's not... It's not a question. It's something to be substantiated.
Okay.
That's how I would also like.
Does everybody have that this
the KPFA letter?
Can we read it?
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to have other people have clear understanding of this because this is a little bit further that we don't get into something probably deleted later on. No, I'm talking about the KPFA. This is the page that went around. Do you want to clarify something?
I mean, the point.
Okay.
No, we don't have it. I will cut it out.
We just passed it around.
You didn't pass it around. Maybe it got stuck somewhere.
What? Does somebody have the KPFA?
Something that looks like an email.
From Pedro. Here, please.
It got stuck.
Okay, here one is the machine.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get
the line?
I have it online.
I just wanted to clarify the proposal which has been circulated to all of you from the WCAIU meeting conference, which is built on what me and Ray No, I'm not going to give you a long thing.
No, I just want to
accepting that motion, but adding to it the time frame. And the time frame that we are proposing is a 1 month delay in the IPND meeting to allow for both the lawyer to be obtained and to do their research, write the opinion. But also, that's not enough because whatever she or he has to say will have implications that need to be widely discussed. All five classrooms will reconvene, have a public meeting, and preferably not a rush thing, but something with time to debate it before it's held. So that's why we came up with a month of a proposed period. So that meeting that's now February 7th and 9th, we're proposing to be postponed to March
17th. Sorry, I missed a bit of that. About who's we?
The WDAI Unity Conference. The written proposal has been circulated.
Paul, and then I go back to Ray and then Carol.
Just a quick reminder about why the lawyer was called in. The lawyer was not called in to make a proposal about affirmative action or about diversity requirements, as is suggested in this Unity Caucus proposal. The lawyer was called in to put into legal language what has already been agreed by the IPND and 305 Labs. And what has been agreed by 305 Labs is the diversity requirement of at least 50% women, at least 50% people of color. And it was hoped that the lawyer would be able to phrase that concept into legal language. He has taken the position that it's not legal to include quotas in the bylaws. So where we are now is that KPFA and others and this lab is asking for a second legal opinion for the purpose, in my view, that now this lab is going to go off in its own direction, and if they accept the WBAI Unity Caucus proposal, again, they will go outside of the process that has been established. What I'm recommending is that we endorse the KPFA proposal to find out whether it is legally possible to include what has been agreed by 3 of 5 labs in the IP&B, which is the 50-50 proposal.
Oh, my gosh. That is just horrible.
Well, it's horrible.
How can you say something?
Okay,
you know what
he's
saying.
Right.
His lawyer was asked not only to put the material in the language, the Balo's language, but also to give his opinion. And the way he phrases it, he said that will likely be considered illegal. So yes. He's not even giving a definition.
Right. No, I agree. Okay. I think we should pursue what Domini is suggesting.
So,
but in the context of what has been agreed, not to go as the Ethics Caucus is proposing, well, let's find legal language to propose something that has not been agreed by 3 of 5 labs in the national board.
Well, we can take a look at what he said. But one thing, okay, maybe what I'm suggesting is that first we decide, do we want to include what Susan suggested as a preamble? To just say that this didn't happen by accident. There's a process that is faulty of selection of important people. We can make it very short. And that therefore it led to the situation that we have now. At least partially responsible for that. And then once we read the KPFA language, if we agree with it, then we can have it the way it is now, or modify it somewhat. And then we have to decide whether or not we do want what I believe is proper, which to me is a logical consequence of what KPFA says. KPFA says there's a hole there, but we are plugging it. I'm saying there's a hole, let's put our damn finger in it. So the next step is to create the time to have a proper legal opinion. And third, then we can look at what Bob's proposal is, then we can see your proposal about specifics, you know, as to exactly how much
time
you delay and why.
Can I apologize? I misrepresented. This was a 60% nomination pool that you're proposing, not a 60% versus.
Okay.
I retract what I said.
Okay.
Susan.
An affirmative action isn't quote.
Susan. I mean, Susan, count.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned that this proposal is anonymous, and I would like to know who the members of the Unity Caucus are that are behind this. I see one name on here, Bob Lederer.
Right.
And I would like, if you're going to accept proposals from other groups in the lab, I think the people have a right to know who is in those groups.
But there's some members of the lab who are part of the Unity Caucus.
That's not my question. My question is who is in the
in that proposal,
Unity Caucus, and who signed this proposal?
Who signed the proposal? Okay. Bob is one of them. Does he use it? Okay. So you got one name now.
Point of clarification. Something. I got my hand behind you. Yeah. Are you nodding my hand?
Yeah.
I mean, what is this? What are we talking about here? You want to know the names of the Unity Caucus? Everybody knows who the Unity Caucus is.
The Unity Caucus.
Muntu Masemela, okay, a member of the Unity Caucus of WBAI, but that's not why I gave my name to respond to you, because I think your question is illegitimate. The Unity Caucus has, in fact, been leading up this discussion for almost a year. Everybody knows who the Unity Caucus is. We've had open meetings for months and months and months. And first of all, do we go around and ask the names of any group or any caucus or anybody? Have we ever asked that question for people to give a list of their names?
I just did.
No. Please, this question has no validity whatsoever.
Right. Your opinion, thank you. Right. Don't ask. You don't ask.
Okay. That's
so
No, let's see if we can. Does everybody have the KPFA thing? I just want people to take a look at it and what he mentioned, because, you know, has everybody read it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Anthony.
Yeah, the language in I support the spirit of this, the specifics, however, of the language. I have one concern. I'd like to have some comment from any of the lab or people in the listener audience on this. It says we can put, this is with, let me wait.
We don't have it. That's what we're trying to figure out.
No, we just gave it to you.
No, this is different what you just gave us. What he has.
I brought this up from
what home. He has and what we have is a separate thing. So I'll just have to listen to you. Okay, thank you. And you want it to be
you're talking about the unit.
The one okay. That you're reading from now.
No, I'm reading from
this?
The KPFA.
This.
Yeah, I think that's what you're reading.
I'm reading from a KPFA.
Oh, okay, maybe.
Language.
Okay, question.
Okay. This is without going through that whole one about what the lab is proposing on the diversity language. It says, and also an opinion. To the strongest possible diversity language we can put into the bylaws if the 50% requirements are not permissible. There they're talking about
right.
Wanting to know what can be done if it turns out somehow that we must accept some legal opinion that it's not. At this point, I'm just suggesting that rather than reinforce something that's still unsettled, and that is what percentages will in fact be agreed upon by three of the five labs and perhaps by the IPMB, that we say into the bylaws if specific requirements are not permissible. For instance, several labs are still discussing whether or not 60% might be an acceptable base, a floor. KPFK has suggested 2/3, for instance. BAI has made a motion proposed that a floor of 60%, so that.
I thought it was three labs. That's the floor, 50%.
No. What the language that presently was being considered was at least 50. Within that,
right.
KPFK specifically. Well, KPFK specifically
right.
Has said 2/3. BAI has said 60%, and there may, in fact, before the final language is embraced, be at least one or two other labs that support a higher number than at least. 50%.
Which is KPFK.
No, I'm saying in addition to KPFK and BAI.
Well,
I'm saying, for instance, KPFT and or Washington and perhaps even KPFA may end up being supportive of or unifying around a specific floor that's higher than the 50%. That's all I'm saying. So I'm saying rather than, it's not a settled question is what I'm saying, contrary to what's being claimed.
I don't know about that, but in the last vote for the different labs, and it was, I think it's in the internet, it was three labs would agree at 50%.
They said at least.
Right.
See, this says a 50% requirement. Doesn't even say that. So I'm saying beyond that, 60% may be end up being what's settled upon, or 2/3 may end up being settled upon. See, because you don't reject an original proposal that you made if you're a lab mm-hmm. that says greater than 50%.
Right.
If you subsequently support something that says 60% or 2/3. And I'm saying that is still a possibility.
No, I just basically was looking for what the proposal to be with the new dynamic and based on the KPFA position, so that you are basically stating that 60% is still a possibility that may be supported by three or four labs.
Yeah, see, what they do is they specify, they say, they don't say at least 50, they say the 50%.
The 50%.
So all I'm saying is that the real issue is that it's specific language. That's the legal issue that's been
right.
we're questioning.
Right.
So I'm just saying that at this point, without trying to get complicated in the back and forth between the labs,
right.
that we say into the bylaws if specific requirements are not permissible, mm-hmm. rather than if the 50% requirement.
So statistical requirement mm-hmm. are not mm-hmm. permissible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just a point of information again. As much as you know, is there specific language in the Pacifica Charter which speaks to inclusion? Because there's a difference between saying some kind of representation that you would aspire for and saying quotas. They're two separate things.
Right.
And it's interesting that language of quotas is being inserted when we're talking about Pacifica. And I'm just asking you if you know specific language.
No, I just meant to be concentrated.
But I thought there was some specific language about what Pacifica's mission is. And I thought that mission was very specific about inclusion. And that was one of the guidelines that the model of inclusion was looking at. Now, if that is, and I think it's there, the implication, it seems to me, of questioning this language may also then have some implications for the Pacifica Mission. I'm just asking, just
right, right.
as a question.
Actually, I'm not aware of that. If I can
Mimi knows.
Go Mimi. Back to you on that. The mission statement actually doesn't reflect that in the way that the discussion
specific, as far as I understand.
Right and also we're just trying to deal with the new bylaw here. So
the new bylaws in my opinion doesn't reflect the Pacifica Commission.
The new
could I just point of information, the charter I think doesn't say that much about it. The Pacifica Mission has actually been put in almost verbatim
right
by Mr. Fink into Section 2. And you can see there it does mention something about engaging in activity to contribute to a lasting understanding between nations.
Can you just ask, we feel like a court here, Section 2 of the document.
That might be the language.
Is it the final draft?
It's actually in this draft.
Yeah, that's right.
Section 2.
Section 2, okay. That's page number 3, right?
Article 1, Section 2.
Article 1, Section 2.
Yeah. So it's very early on.
Is it page 1?
It's the very first thing.
Oh, yeah.
Point D, last paragraph.
In radio broadcasting?
Yeah. Point D, radio broadcasting.
Yes.
Yeah. Those paragraphs were not included in any, well, in the most recent Pacifica bylaws. So
that's my point.
I'm not quite sure why he put them in.
No, they were. The
yes, they were.
Voted to put them in. I was there when they voted.
Okay, so sure.
We didn't
okay.
Add.
All right, so they're going to put them in.
Okay, Mike, the vote there.
Yes, I think based upon the Bracky case and the Michigan case, the word quota is used if you set aside a certain number of seats, like 21 out of 40, without any other reason than in quotes gender or race, as opposed to if you're trying to diversify an environment like a university where you're getting people from Nebraska, athletes, people who have a color of different colors, okay, because of what they bring to the mix, the diversity, okay, that is not a quota system. So I think if you can come up with a representational model of why you're putting people on the board, you get around the quota. You say, I'm putting a young person on because we have young people. I'm putting an older person on because we deal with older people. You don't say how many, one minimum, as many as you can get after that. That is not a quota. Okay? So I think if you could get away from these numbers that mean nothing about gender and race, in quotes, which has no barrier, has no nothing to do with diversity, is stating two things. You're not saying why you need them. I think if you get down to representational, you'll sound like the Michigan model, which is they get 20 points for athletes, 10 points for this, 15 points for that, and also for grades. But they want diversity for people from all over and different backgrounds. And that's what we want on our board, is diversity of people, not of gender and color.
This is sad. I can't believe this.
So I say...
Okay, okay. We'll hear you, Mike.
No, I'm just really paying attention.
Okay.
Just a practical matter. We've spent months and months putting together, talking about how we're going to word this diversity stuff, and it's really the skeleton of the whole thing, right? Of this, as we see it, it's the skeleton of this. What we don't, and is it, bylaws are supposed to last for a while. What we don't want is for the Supreme Court in the future, the new Supreme Court, to declare language such as this against public policy. I mean, we're between a rock and a hard place. And it's no damn good. But we ought to just consider that. And if we can have some more general language that will avoid that kind of a... Because we know they're going to declare something like that. You know? They're going to change us. It's going to happen. And just be careful.
But declare that slavery was illegal.
Yeah.
And I think probably they'll...
They'll probably do that, too. They'll probably do that, too. That's coming.
We have to support it.
That's coming, that's coming soon.
We support that.
Come on, Dave.
Okay, can we just go back in the way that we're going to try to see if we can come up with some kind of resolution instead of the recommendation that we're going to make based on what's been said here. So did you get some of the main idea from... I get Ray basically endorsed, and I don't know if you follow what Anthony was saying instead of the specific requirement. So then I just trying to see if we can work it out some kind of language here that there is what the people have been basically been raising. And also the thing that was mentioned by Susan in terms of the lawyer situation, which is that she recommend, which is that one of the problems was that the people that we are looking for as the professional people or the people with special skills who help Pacifica in the case of this lawyer did not been a process at all. And basically is recommended by one person and not recommended by a group of people. So I don't know how that could be integrated there, but just to mention.
Well, I guess the way that Mimi and Ray suggested that part of it, that one or two of the criteria would be that the person would be politically active or an activist. And what was the other one?
Did they have a selection of a lawyer now?
No. Just trying to word the point that he was saying about Susan's suggestion about lawyers have some kind of criteria. And I was saying that I thought the language that they used was part of that criteria, that there should be some political commitment. And I think there was another point that you raised.
So Susan has said, though, that Susan didn't go into specifics.
No, she didn't.
She just said that the process was kind of
haphazard. No, I agree. I was just saying to the point that Miguel was raising about about including her point, I was saying that I thought you two had given some criteria already by suggesting that the lawyer be, I think you said, politically activist or something else.
Somebody who's an advocate of progressive,
right,
affirmative,
exactly. And I think that we can say that. If we're going to write this, well, we can say it how we want.
I try to push if we can just put that into some kind of presentation.
Okay, maybe we can put it into a resolution.
People can just address
okay.
That.
All right.
Marion.
I would like to part of this statement that we have someone, a lawyer, who has some historical benchmark as to an understanding of this country historically and its legacy. And that person has to have some understanding of a civil rights lawyer, a constitutional lawyer, but he needs to understand the history of this country. I think that the gentleman who reviewed this, if he has an understanding of this country, it certainly isn't reflected in this document. But I think we need to get someone who has a historical understanding of the history of racism in this country and its after effects on this country, and we're still dealing with it today.
Mary Frances Berry was on a board with other people, not all of whom were black. Michael Palmer's name is never mentioned, but Mary Frances Berry did make something that were true. A lot of her positions were incorrect. But I'm just tired of Mary Frances Berry.
Well, wait a minute, where did that come from?
He mentioned Mary Frances Berry, and this is happening too often.
Okay, well, as I can think of her as the preeminent legal expert on the history of racism and the law. Wait a minute, how are you getting there? Let's go back.
Well, just raise the hand.
She's not even a practitioner.
Gay and Ray.
I think that we should begin to move to accept some motions. I like the KPFA motion with AK's change, from 50% to specific requirements, and that we add to it, we further move that sufficient time be given to accomplish this, and I think that
1 month. Could you
1 month? And then I think that the KPFA lab is struggling with the issue of attorneys in the next little bullet point, and they're talking about a national panel of prominent civil rights attorneys be convened. Maybe we can tweak that or refine that in some way so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. But I think that in essence we are agreeing with the spirit of these resolutions, and with a little refinement we can pass on them tonight.
Okay.
Before my parking meter runs out.
I need some money.
Don't give it back to me. I have to go home.
Great.
Okay. My suggestion was that to make it easier, that if when we're discussing the ideas presented by Susan, that we don't necessarily say what we want, that we leave that for when we're actually saying, that we should choose somebody to do it. To take a look at this, maybe we can say what we want there, but that in questioning the process, that we simply agree that it was haphazard, that it should be more systematic, closer to what we did when choosing an executive director or a session manager, instead of specifically at that level, say what we want, you know what I'm saying? Just question the process, so that it should be more forward. One thing, by the way, I just wanted in passing, that he also put that the executive director, that's another liberty that he takes. He says the executive director, by the way, who's an ex officio of the board, should break a tie with a tie rise on the board. And where the hell did that come from? Who asked him to do something like that? Now, to me, I don't know the guy, maybe he's a great guy. I just think that he's missing something, this is not the role, I don't know if it's the role here on the board, for example, on the lab. I know that the Don is there, that's official, but he doesn't have it. So what I'm saying is that there will be all kind of political discussion involving coming to such a conclusion. He just presented as a technical improvement. Anyway, I just want to say in passing. So in terms of the resolutions, I'm assuming we read them already.
No. We just trying to see how. I mean, Gail basically said that we support this in the spirit, but with a few changes. That's what I was trying to get.
But then, did we read that? Everybody, we read them aloud, I don't know. Everybody knows what the resolutions are. That is the section that we're interested in.
We're just talking about those first two.
Well, there's three actually. That's what I wanted to get to. There's a third one that's more general. Oh, here they are.
This is
so
the table.
There is one where Anthony's for the correction, saying that the request that he be obtained an opinion from a prominent civil rights lawyer, and the second one
So in opinion, let's go by part. Let's go by part, and we can just break it down and make it easy. So the first one is that we agree, and we get a second opinion
from a civil rights lawyer.
From a civil rights lawyer,
yeah.
And then maybe add an activist of.
Well, I mean, there are organizations in support of affirmative action around the country. I mean, so I just think that it's always we should know the political and the legal. Mm-hmm. It's not just.
Okay. So can we just start that we don't go back upon.
And also that, let me specify that we ask for a written opinion.
A what?
A written.
A written.
Yes, yes, yes.
And in Spanish, it's a written.
It's critical. And that. That's writing.
Okay. In writing.
It's good.
Making fun of you.
Looking at the potential consequences to Pacifica if we put such requirement into bylaws. Because to me, what concerns me is that this guy did not say, okay, this is something that is very important to those people. Everybody agreed on this. If 50% is not possible, you know, how about apply 30? Even go to the trouble saying that I looked at it and there's really nothing possible. It looks like. And again, I'm reading maybe more.
But is that when he said that there will be a possibility that there is a bunch of lawsuits?
But can
because
I just
making
suggest,
the
that's really I don't want to characterize, but I think people consider themselves anywhere from liberal to left to revolutionary, etc. When have we ever, as part of this station, as part of the group here, felt that something is wrong and not protested it? If you don't put it in an affirmative thing, is there a likelihood that we will invade Iraq? Yes. Did we go to the demonstration? Absolutely. Do we work night and day to defeat the U.S. war juggernaut? Of course. I'm just suggesting, because a lawyer maintains a position, we really should not be so coward that it represents anything more than, forgive me, Paul, Marion, myself, or anybody else in a lay capacity. Is saying it is not the gospel. It is not a stone tablet. These are debates. So I just would like us to suggest that we believe in egalitarianism and want to figure every and any means to implement it. And there needs to be that affirmative approach. Then we will come up with a position that accomplishes that, because there is no one way to do that.
I do agree with that. So,
but
again, so I would agree with that language. With the proviso that has been said, maybe we can look at specific language that says that we would do the recruiting rather than defining the individual's characteristics or skills. Now, there's a second party that says that the national panel of prominent civil rights attorneys be convened to discuss the diversity issues in the bylaws, and that the discussion should be broadcast live and on all five stations. So this, I'm presuming this would take place post. We will not stop. This will be discussion to enlighten us. But that doesn't have to take place before we actually have the stop implemented. So I would also suggest that we add this particular paragraph to our resolution.
Could you put in civil and human rights advocates? Because, I mean, there were civil rights lawyers that
civil,
are really, you
that
know,
completes the point.
Civil
and
human rights activists. Which many lawyers. I mean, there are a lot of different people.
You mean you want to go beyond having just attorneys in the discussion, you're saying?
Well, I think we should just look at it. They don't have the definitive thing in life. The University of Michigan came up with its determination not just based on a lawyer sitting down at a table, nor did we. The bylaws came out of the masses. We're asking for a legal opinion on them. But that's different. I just want to get the idea that lawyers are not the ones who make and change history and develop the advocacy.
It's taking a while to say.
I just want to say civil and human rights activists,
okay,
which could include attorneys, politicians,
okay.
Yeah, human beings.
Yeah,
okay.
Just a general point about the lab getting legal advice. I went to an NPR station's trustee meeting last week and was informed that they get services from Rutgers Law School. I don't know if it's possible for the lab. It might not pertain to this specifically, but just in general, getting advice. looking to some of the law schools in the area to give.
I think that's what getting the 12 schools in consulting those lawyers.
We have a number of very good folks who are willing to consult.
See, with problem,
that's not a bad idea at all.
No, that makes sense.
To, even Queen's College has.
Well, a number of good people
we want them to be experts.
Anthony and Carl.
Right. So the advocacy component, is that clear?
That's what I guess is the suggestion.
Right. The point I was just
human
asking.
Rights.
I'm saying that it's very helpful in if we add that language because it's part of us shaping some criteria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a number of things. It's been stated it should be civil rights. Somebody knowledgeable there. We're also suggesting as an advocate, somebody with some history and experience at that level of advocating, which is where we are. You know, we're trying to figure out a way to get this done,
mm-hmm.
not simply whether or not it's legal. We're trying to figure out how to get it done.
Yeah. And it's actually constitutional law, not civil rights, which is not...
Okay.
What is constitutional law? Sorry.
No, I mean, if you were looking for somebody who has done work around the BACI, you know, they're really constitutional lawyers. I mean, they're not civil rights lawyers.
Carol and these
persons. I want to reinforce two points. One that Paul Sorgo made, and that is that the issue has to do with the legal language that would make this acceptable to the California courts. We are trying not to get rejected. So the broader you go and the farther away you go from the expertise, the more you run the risk of language which in fact might not be consonant with what that court requires. And the second point is Susan Lee's point, which I thought was very well taken, that we should ask for a real procedure that we keep to in all cases, because with all due respect to Mimi's circle of acquaintances and experts, we run the same risk that is being complained about, and that is friends getting friends of friends instead of experts who are chosen by some process that everybody respects. If we end up with recommendations of people without a process that is broad and applicable to every case, we're going to end up with people complaining about that, the choice of that expert, and there's no end to that. So I would suggest that the first thing you might want to do is to set up a procedure or recommend one to the ITMB and then go from there and use that procedure in all cases. Apply it to the this last attorney, to Frisk, and to any other future attorneys.
Andy.
Just from the same point, it seems like we're getting further and further behind here because, first of all, the whole... We have to keep focus here. The process is to come up with language which the IPMB will find acceptable, which they will deem legal, right? So now we have to consider the process of selecting attorneys to provide opinions on this. So we seem to be stepping backwards and backwards. I'm concerned about the time frame. Maybe we should discuss, give some ideas. Is this an open-ended process? Because essentially we're saying the IPMB will be extended. We're saying this lab will be extended. That's what we're saying.
But can I open-ended? Maybe as a compromise, I mean, of course, I still don't know what the big rush is. I mean, we're not doing so bad. If we were in a crisis, I'd worry. We're not, so I don't care if democracy takes longer. But given what Susan said and what Carolyn seemed to be echoing, I think that there are people who are very accomplished and respected in their field. There are people like Ted Shaws that said he's Associate General Counsel of the NEACP, Legal Defense and Education Fund. I don't think anybody in the country who practices constitutional law would not consider him to be remarkable. The Mexican-American Legal Defense Fund operates in California, has litigated around these issues. I think it's totally valid at this point to seek some opinions to get the ball rolling. Right. That